The Space Mice Incident by Carl Frederick first appeared in Analog Magazine, July-August 2003. Damn space tourists! Smiling pleasantly, Commander Hendricks lowered his teacup down into the china saucer. He struggled to appear absorbed by Tate's words, but his gaze wandered past the station guest and on through a viewport to the black of space. The crescent Earth spun into view, and Hendricks leaned back in his chair to fight the vertigo. It was hard getting used to the spinning. Space stations should not spin. But tourists demand gravity, and they have the money. What did they care that it made docking a nightmare? By twisting his head a little, Commander Hendricks could see the other pod of the dumbbell-shaped station. He fervently wished that Mr. Tate were back in that pod, the tourist quarters, and mentally cursed the genius who'd thought up the breakfast with the commander program.
And you'd think for my $5 million I'd be able to have a long shower and not have to put up with stale French bread.
Hendricks forced his eyes away from the viewport. There's a limit to how quickly we can reprocess water, he said. I'm sorry, you're an honored guest and we value you being with us, but
I'll bet you value it. 5 million smackers.
Mr. Tate slammed down his teacup. The fine china rang like a bell. You know, maybe I should have toured on the Eastern Star instead. It certainly would have cost a hell of a lot less, and I hear their Peking duck is superb.
Yes, the Chinese station has a good kitchen, but I'm sure you didn't venture into space for the cuisine.
And here in the quest, suddenly from the corner of his eye, Hendricks saw a small blur of gray fur scampering out of an air duct.
A mouse. What the hell is a mouse doing here on the space station? Commander, are you listening to me?
What? Oh, yes, of course, but I've just remembered an important test I have to oversee. A crucial test, in fact. Commander Hendricks stood. If Tate sees this mouse, he'll have kittens.
I'm sorry, we've got to end the breakfast so abruptly, but we'll talk later.
I really am sorry, and I'll try to have something done about your complaints. He shepherded Tate to the door and then rushed down to the lower deck to see the chief facilities engineer.
You've seen them too, said Robinson.
He sat at an electronics workbench, laser and kneeling iron in hand.
Them?
Commander Hendricks stared at the messy workbench, covered with many robot parts, and wondered how the engineer would ever survive on a zero-gravity station.
Yes, said Robinson. I've been getting reports from around the station.
He annealed a last connection on a device that appeared to be an artificial leg for a cat.
Damned litter robots, they're always going down, he set aside his iron. We seem to have a mouse infestation.
Hendricks leaned back against a bulkhead.
Where the hell did they come from?
Robinson put down his annealing iron.
I don't know, he shrugged. The only possibility I can think of is that they came from the Chinese transport, the same one that gave us Vice Director Tsung.
Hendricks grimaced at the thought. Demilitarization Inspector Tsung. Ridiculous.
Yeah,
said Robinson. The guy runs around like he thinks we're going to bomb Beijing.
What are we supposed to bomb them with? Stale baguettes?
Hendricks pulled up a chair and sat facing the engineer.
How could the mice get from the Chinese ship? We would have seen them.
Probably through the pressure equalization duct, before the main hatch opened, 5 centimeter diameter. Only thing I can think of.
All right.
Commander Hendricks reached over to the intercom unit and requested Vice Director Tsung be found and sent to facilities engineering. Then he pointed to the electric coffee pot at the far end of the bench.
May I?
Help yourself. Hendricks poured himself a cupful.
You know, I didn't join the space agency for this, he said, bringing back the coffee and sitting. I feel more like a hotel manager than an astronaut.
He stared into his cup, watching the wavelets on the surface of the coffee vibrating to the soft thrum of the air circulation system. The USCU Space Station Quest, a crew of 80, a slew of experiments to oversee, and I spend most of my time pampering 12 tourists.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Robinson picked up his coffee mug and took a swig.
Where's the adventure, the danger? Commander Hendricks gave a short, bitter chuckle.
Once, not that long ago, the public funded space research.
I remember, said Robinson, space was all for us then. Now it's just another playground for the rich.
Hendricks and Robinson both turned as Director Tsung came softly into the room. Director Tsung, thin and wiry, wore a military uniform but without the medals or signs of rank. His only adornment, besides his wire-rimmed glasses, was a compact video recorder he carried slung around his neck. Tate sported one as well.
Why your son for me, please?
Hendricks indicated a chair, but Tsung remained standing.
We believe, said Commander Hendricks, that there might be a problem with the transit ship Shanghai.
Shanghai, excellent ship. What you think problem?
The pressure equalization duct. We think a mouse or two might have romped through into the station. Tsung smiled and gave an all but imperceptible bow. Impossible, he said quietly. There exist no mouse on Chinese transport. Then you've not seen any mice on the Eastern Star? Asked Robinson.
No mouse. Tsung flashed a furtive, humorless smile. If you have mouse, do not blame China.
Fine, said Hendricks, but until we find out what's happening, I'd appreciate if you wouldn't talk about it to anyone. No sense in upsetting the space tourists.
Tsung seemed amused. Your guest not like mice?
He nodded and padded to the door.
It not problem. I keep little secret.
Well, said Hendricks as the door closed behind Tsung, I still think they came from the Shanghai. I don't trust Tsung.
Neither do I, said Hendricks.
In any case, we have to do something about them. I assume there are no mousetraps on the station.
You've got to be kidding.
Hendricks smiled. How about you making some?
Robinson slowly put down his coffee mug and glowered at the commander. I've got a doctorate from MIT in AI engineering, and you want me to make mousetraps?
Yes. Robinson drummed his fingers on the desk. What are you going to do with the mice?
What? I don't know.
Hendricks threw up his hands. Maybe send them down to the galley and have them made into mouse kebabs.
I'm a vegetarian, said Robinson coolly.
I'm asking you to catch them, not eat them. I'm a vegetarian because I won't kill animals.
Hendricks let out a long breath.
All right, I promise. We won't kill the mice, but we can't have them running around loose. Please make some traps, okay?
Okay.
Robinson scratched his nose and then took off his glasses. He smiled.
Yeah, this could be fun, you know. I think I can whip up some really interesting and non-harmful traps.
That's the spirit, said Hendricks, getting to his feet. Keep me informed.
After his scheduled sleep period, Commander Hendricks went down to see how Robinson was doing. He smiled as he stepped into the engineering lab and inhaled the acrid, sweet smell of circuit annealing compound. It was a healthy, technological smell, and it masked the lingering aroma of French cuisine that pervaded the station, despite the air recirculation filters. Robinson, as it turned out, had forgone his sleep period to work on the mouse problem. He looked exhausted.
It's not that important, said Hendricks. Go get some sleep.
Robinson, standing, shook his head. It's important now. The mice are developing a taste for Teflon. They're gnawing the coatings off the station wiring.
What?
Two shorts already. It's lucky all key systems are multiply redundant.
Hendricks expected danger in space exploration, but not this kind of danger.
How are the traps coming?
Robinson sighed and plopped down at his workbench. The passive traps didn't catch anything. The mice don't seem hungry, at least not for the bait I'm using. So I converted a few litter bots to active traps, traps that actually go out and look for mice.
Hendricks sat at the bench, opposite Robinson.
Active traps? Interesting idea.
Yeah, sort of a robot cat with hypodermic teeth and tranquilizers with radioactive tagging. We should have been able to just go around with a scintillation counter and collect sleeping mice.
From the way you're talking, I gather RoboCat didn't work.
Yeah, right. RoboCat.
Robinson shook his head. RoboCat seems to be too slow to catch mice. He chuckled. But he likes to catch crew members. He's bitten two of them on the ankles. They were each out for half an hour. Programming failure. Sedative doses based on target size. But it was supposed to abort for creatures much larger than a standard mouse.
Hendricks wondered if his chief facilities engineer might be more of a menace than the mice.
Okay. So the cat doesn't catch mice. Call it back and we'll think up another plan.
I can't call it back.
Why?
Hendricks had the uneasy thought that things were escalating out of control.
It's gone feral.
Feral? How the hell does a robot go feral?
Programming glitch. I'd forgotten the litter bots were meant to be autonomous.
So you can't call it back?
Hendricks sighed. And it can't catch mice.
RoboCat isn't fast enough. Even the Mark II isn't quite fast enough.
The Mark II? A second RoboCat?
Hendricks had an image of his crew dropping like flies.
Well, no, more like a robot weasel.
Robo-weasel?
Commander Hendricks shoved back his chair and stood.
My God, what next?
Robinson made calming motions with his hands.
Don't worry, batteries will run down in 20 hours max.
Has it gone feral as well?
Well, yeah, but I've another plan for the mice.
Oh, yes?
I've drawn up plans for tranquilizer guns. I'm having them made up now.
Robinson rummaged through the surface of his workbench and produced a set of plans.
Here, take a look at this. Nice design, isn't it? The tranquilizer guns shoot a sponge filled with sedatives. I've instructed that they be given to the crew whenever they see a mouse. Pow!
Robinson's face contorted in anger.
I hate these mice. Hendricks considered the situation. Robinson hadn't succeeded in catching the mice, but not for want of trying. The man had worked himself silly. "Don't take it personally," said Hendricks. "We'll get them, but you have to get some sleep. I'll run herd on the mouse project." "Yeah, I guess," Robinson rubbed his eyes. "Thanks, I'll try to catch a few hours." Hendricks left. As he made his way to the command deck, he thought hard on the space mice problem and didn't see Tate approaching until it was too late. "Commander," Tate called out, "this is disgusting. I saw a mouse running around the deck as if he owned the place. I didn't pay $5 million to vacation on a mouse-infested space station that doesn't even serve good coffee." "I'm sorry, Mr. Tate, but I'm awfully busy right now." Hendricks hurried towards his briefing room with Tate following close behind. "Look, Hendricks," said Tate, "we tourists pay for the space program now. If we should all decide to tour the Eastern Star instead of here, you can kiss your space station goodbye." Hendricks escaped to the briefing room. 4 hours later, Hendricks got an intercom call from Robinson. "You should be asleep," said Hendricks. "Look, I've got an idea. Subsonics. I can whip up a subsonic mouse repeller and install it in the control room. It won't catch the mice, but it'll keep them from eating the wiring." "Good," said Hendricks. "Keep me informed." He turned from the intercom, then stopped and leaned against a bulkhead. An idea had occurred to him, but he knew he'd need to be pretty darn sure of himself before making accusations. Hendricks wandered the decks in thought. He noticed crew members armed with mouse tranquilizer guns. As far as he could tell, no mouse had actually been tranquilized, but the crew seemed to enjoy playing with the weapons. After a while, he found himself in front of Robinson's lab, and he went in. "I wonder," said Hendricks, "how often do mice have to eat?" "What are you getting at?" Robinson stretched back in his chair. "Are you saying we should just put out some tranquilizer-laced cheese?" No, it's not that," said Hendricks. "Mice have to eat, and the station keeps its food in sealed metal compartments." Robinson started to absentmindedly scratch his ear with his live annealing iron, but stopped in time. "You mean someone must be feeding them?" "Yes." "Sabotage." Robinson put down the iron. "Could be. Who?" Commander Hendricks shrugged. "I don't know, but Vice Director Tsung comes to mind." Robinson whistled between his teeth. "Wow, that would cause an international incident." "I know." Hendricks stood to leave. "It makes your sonic repeller project very important now. When you get some results, come to my ready room, and don't talk about it to anyone, especially Tsung." "Understood." At the door, Hendricks paused. "And maybe you'd better repossess your tranquilizer guns. I don't think they're working. And now that they're armed, the crew seem a little unpredictable." Striding to the command deck, Hendricks tried to put the mouse problem out of his mind for a few hours. He had to oversee an EVA shell integrity test, and then there was a duty roster to approve, and the oxygen generator seemed to be running a little hot. Suddenly, as if a switch had been thrown, he found he was angry, roaring angry. He hated that pig, Tate, and Tsung was no better. Hendricks was mad at the world. This wasn't his idea of what it meant to be an astronaut. Afraid that he'd say or do something he'd later regret, Hendricks went to his cabin to wait for the mood to pass. In his quarters, he squandered some time playing chess with the computer and looked up from the screen only when he heard a heavy knock on his door and Tate's voice coming over the intercom. Commander Hendricks threw open the door. "What the hell do you want?" Mr. Tate stood there, wide-eyed and open-mouthed. "Well?" Hendricks gave Tate no time to answer. "If you're going to complain again that you think your $5 million means we have to wipe your nose when you sneeze, don't bother. In fact, I'll let you guess where you can stuff your $5 million. Commander Hendricks slammed the metal bulkhead door in the man's face and stalked back to his computer. Shaking, he sat down and took a couple of deep breaths. Then, as abruptly as it came, his anger vanished. He felt like his old self. He laughed. "So that's all there was to it. I merely had to tell off that bastard." Then he shook his head. "I must be losing my mind." He headed for the door. He had to hunt down Tate and offer the swine an in-person apology. "I hate to do this, but it's better than a court-martial." Just as he got to the door, he heard Robinson's voice at the door intercom. Hendricks opened the door and then jumped back. Robinson stood there, his white lab coat covered in blood-red splotches. "Oh, my God," said Hendricks. "What happened? Look, you can tell me as we go across to medical." Robinson held up his hands. No, it's not blood. It's ketchup. I'm fine." "What?" "I switched on the sonic repeller and then went to collect the tranquilizer guns from the crew. Big mistake." Robinson tried to brush some dried ketchup from his lab coat. "Since they couldn't get any mice with the guns, they'd replaced the sedative drops with ketchup and were using them for paintball." "And they did that to you?" Well, yeah, but it was my own fault, really. The sonic repellers do repel mice, but the subsonics also make people nervous and as mad as hell. The crew weren't exactly eager to return the guns. He stopped to lick some dried ketchup from his fingers. But they were much more reasonable when I turned off the repellers. Oh, my God, Tate, said Hendricks. That's why I told him off. He rushed to the intercom, but the space tourist wasn't in his cabin. Hendricks left a message of apology. Thinking about Tate and the man's complaints, Hendricks got an idea. He turned to the engineer. You know, I think I know what's going on. The mice must be an attempt to discredit our station and get more tourism for the Eastern Star. You think so? I can't think of any other possibility. Boy, I'd hate for that to be true. I order out Chinese from the Star a couple of times a month, but it's expensive. You wouldn't believe how much Tsung charges for deliveries. What? You mean that's why Tsung shuttles back and forth between stations so often? Yeah, and he brings our French cuisine back to the Star, Robinson shrugged. I thought you knew. Everybody knows. In fact, Tsung's going back in an hour or so, taking back a beef bourguignon for a political bigwig. The chef told me. A smile slowly diffused across Commander Hendricks' face. Tsung is going back in an hour? Yeah, why? Do you think, said Hendricks, that you could turn on your sonic repellers again when the Chinese transport docks with us? I guess. What for? And could you array the repellers so that they drive the mice back through the pressure duct into Tsung's ship? Yeah, I think that could be arranged. He laughed. In fact, if you don't mind, I'll do it now. And then I've got to get some sleep. He headed for the door. Just then came a high-pitched yelp from the corridor. Hendricks and Robinson ran to the door and looked out, just in time to see a crew member keel over and crumple to the floor. A cat-like animal darted down the corridor and disappeared around a corner. Robocat? Asked Hendricks as he ran to the fallen crew member. Afraid so. Robinson went over to help carry the crewman to a chair. He'll come out of it in 20 minutes or so. I'll see to him, said Hendricks. Go and set up the repellers, and for God's sakes, watch your ankles. As Robinson started down the corridor, a voice from the station intercom announced that Hendricks was wanted on the command deck for a communication from the space agency. Hendricks stood bolt upright and stared at the intercom. Then, oblivious to the unconscious crew member who just slid noiselessly to the floor, Hendricks rushed back to the command deck. Switching on the video, Hendricks saw the shiny, bright epaulets of an admiral. Even though Hendricks was sitting, he still managed to snap to attention. Admiral, sir, Commander Hendricks reporting. The admiral wasted no time on small talk. 2 hours ago, we intercepted the following video from Chinese TV. He pressed a button and a video insert appeared on Hendricks's computer screen. The commentary was in Mandarin, but Hendricks hardly needed a translation. The video showed first a corridor in the space station with two mice scampering through a bulkhead door. Good God, said Hendricks under his breath. The video then switched to a scene of three crew members shooting tranquilizer guns at a fleeting mouse. The mouse got away. Hendricks got a brief mental image of that court-martial. Suddenly he felt very anxious and assumed that Robinson had turned on the subsonics. At least he hoped that's why he felt anxious. Finally, the video showed another four crew members shooting each other with paintball-modified tranquilizer guns. Hendricks' skin tingled as he visualized himself being boiled in oil. Sir, I can explain. Is this true? Asked the admiral. Yes, sir, but it was sabotaged. The mice were smuggled on board. No doubt, said the admiral with a wave of his hand. But good work, Commander. Excuse me? Just half an hour ago, the Chinese released an English-language version. The American networks aired it, and right off, Silicon Valley executives were phoning in droves, eager to plunk down millions to play paintball in space, but they want zero-G. Hendricks sat open-mouthed as the admiral went on. Where did you get those guns? My chief facilities engineer designed and made them. Good job. This is a coup. Just as the aging SF types are dying out, the young high-tech billionaires want to go up. The admiral slapped his desk for emphasis. I need an operations plan to spin down the station. Hendricks didn't trust himself to speak. He felt giddy and anxious at the same time. Now, said the admiral, I need that plan now. Yes, sir. Command out, said the admiral, and the screen went dead. Hendricks smiled. He'd hoped for the day the station returned to zero-G operation and had prepared a spin-down plan just in case. He accessed the plan on the computer and downloaded it to mission control. This should impress the old buzzard. He stood to leave the ready room, but had to steady himself against an earthquake-like tremor, and a moment later he felt his anxiety vanish. No doubt the Chinese transport had just undocked, and Robinson had turned off the sonic repellers. Hendricks paused. and then sat at the console again. He might as well have some fun. He certainly deserved it. Whistling happily, he established a ship-to-ship with the Chinese transport and asked to speak to Tsung. After a few moments, Tsung appeared on the screen, wearing, in addition to his uniform, the hint of a smile. "Ah, Commander Hendricks, what can I do you? Well, for starters, you can explain why you told about the mice when you'd agreed not to." "So sorry," Tsung smiled, nodding his head in a ritual bow. "And what would you say," Hendricks went on, carefully avoiding an outright lie, "if I told you we have genetic tests that show that the mice are Chinese mice?" Tsung's smile vanished. He spoke to someone off-camera in Mandarin and then leaned forward into the camera. "We must respectfully disagree. We say they not Chinese mouse." Hendricks leaned forward as well. "Come on, Tsung, why did you do it?" "Regrettable," said the vice director. "But when America find out about mouse, no one want to visit your station," and Tsung took off his glasses and looked down at them. "All your guests are belong to us." Hendricks was about to laugh in Tsung's face, but he heard a sudden yelp and saw a crew member in the Chinese transport go limp in the transporter's zero gravity. Then Hendricks saw a small creature jump into view and then disappear into a vent. Tsung spun around at the noise, slapped his glasses back on, and spoke in rapid Mandarin. Hendricks reached over and broke off the connection. "Robo Weasel 1, Chinese 0. He stood and left the command deck, hungry and intent on rewarding himself with a good meal in the tourist restaurant. The future looked bright. The station would go zero-G, research and exploration would be important again, and the Silicon Valley types might actually help in the research. Whistling, he strode towards the capsule tram to the tourist pod, but he had barely gone 10 meters when Tate intercepted him. "Commander Hendricks, your apology was unacceptable. I think you owe me more than..." "I'm sorry, Mr. Tate. I don't have time to talk to you now," Hendricks continued on his way. "How dare you turn your back on me? When I get home, I'm going to launch you..." Hendricks didn't break stride nor turn around. "With the commander's compliments, Mr. Tate, kindly go to hell." Tate shouted a string of obscenities, which was broken off by a short scream. Startled, Hendricks turned around in time to see Mr. Tate fall to the deck and a fleeting creature leap for a vent. "Thank you, Robocat." Apparently drawn by the scream, a crew member ran into the corridor. He stopped as he saw Tate sprawled on the deck. "Robocat?" Hendricks gave a fleeting smile. "Could you see that he gets carried back to his cabin?" "Of course, but what'll I tell him when he wakes up? He'll be as mad as a wet wolverine." "Tell him..." Commander Hendricks looked across through a viewport onto the cold blackness of space. Looking at the countless bright pinpoints of light, he felt again the familiar awe of the majesty and vastness of the universe. The commander turned to look at Tate sprawled supine on the deck. "Tell him space exploration is dangerous." Hendricks continued walking, then stopped, swiveled around, and hurried back towards the command deck. It occurred to him that if he could lure the Shanghai back, he might save the space agency some money. "Shouldn't be too hard. Right now, Tsung probably wants to return some cargo to us real bad." Hendricks stopped at an intercom pod. "Peanut butter. Mice are attracted to peanut butter." He keyed Robinson's quarters. The engineer was slow to answer, and when he did, he sounded groggy. "Whoever the hell you are, please go away." "This is Hendricks. We've got to get our mice back." "What? Our mice? We've got to lure them back from the Shanghai." Silence. "Robinson," said Hendricks. "Robinson, are you there?" End.